Can you end by talking about January 6th, the insurrection, the latest news we hear, President Trump flushing paper down the toilet, taking boxes of documents, perhaps some classified, to Mar-a-Lago, defying in that way. And then you have the, 100 Congress members not willing to condemn what took place, saying it was just public discourse that should be protected. What you feel we need to learn from this?
Well, it was an appalling statement. The RNC called it legitimate political discourse. Scaling Capitol walls are legitimate political discourse. Waving Confederate flags in the Capitol is legitimate political discourse. I mean, there's been a loss of total perspective. And it is, of course, a shameful day, but what we ought to do is look at all of the causes of it. Partly, we have to look at the causes of social media, where there were specific targeted threats of assassination, and some of these social media companies like Facebook sat on that, did not give that information to law enforcement. But beyond that, we need accountability, not just of the people who were out there rioting or insurrectionists, but of the strategists, the people who plotted this. We haven't gotten that to them yet, and that's what the commission needs to do.
Ro Khanna, we want to thank you for being with us. The book just out, Dignity in the Digital Age, Making Tech Work for All of Us. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM and KBOO.FM online.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available at our website. The Finance Committee meets on the third Thursday of the month at 4:30 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
Welcome to Sojourner Truth. Thank you for staying with us. This is your host, Margaret Prescott. Today, we are continuing our seven-part series on the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, known as SNCC. Today, we are going to hear from the late civil rights activist, comedian, and social critic, Dick Gregory. He spoke at the 50th anniversary conference of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. If you've missed any part of our seven-part series on SNCC, you can go to SoundCloud or to our website or Facebook page to find previously posted shows. And today, we are going to hear the speech that Dick Gregory gave at SNCC's 50th anniversary conference that took place in 2010. Of course, we know that the world lost Dick Gregory at 84 years old in August of 2017. Dick Gregory used his amazing abilities to communicate the need for civil rights activism as well as in his efforts of direct action, such as an attempt to integrate a Mississippi restaurant before the historic 1963 March on Washington. At protest marches, Dick Gregory was repeatedly beaten and jailed, once telling a police officer who dragged him across the street, quote, "Thanks a million, up north, police don't escort me across the street," end of quote. Dick Gregory is remembered for his combination of wit and insight to combat racism and for human rights in the United States and around the world. We live in a global world we're all interrelated. So on Sojourner Truth, we work to bring directly to you news and views on local, national, and international policies and stories that affect us all. And we draw out how those of us most impacted, women, communities of color, and other communities are responding. We also discuss the interrelationship between art and politics. Now for our news headlines.
I'm Max Pringle with these headlines. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell is criticizing the Republican National Committee for censuring two House GOP lawmakers for their roles in the select committee investigating the January 6th insurrection. McConnell said it's not the party's job to punish Wyoming's Liz Cheney or Adam Kinzinger of Illinois for their views.
Traditionally, the view of the National Party committees is that we support all members of our party, regardless of their positions on some issues.
Former President Trump has been downplaying the attack in his public statements. The RNC last week took a voice vote to approve censuring Cheney and Kinzinger. The RNC censure resolution assailed the House panel for leading what it called a persecution of ordinary citizens engaged in legitimate political discourse. Those words have prompted a firm pushback from several GOP leaders. New York Governor Kathy Hochul will announce today whether the state will extend a COVID-19 mask mandate requiring face coverings in most indoor public settings like grocery stores, shops, and offices. The mandate, put in place in mid-December, is set to expire tomorrow unless the Democrats' administration extends it. Hochul has been hinting for several days that she would let the mandate lapse as the state emerges from a deadly wave of cases fueled by the Omicron variant. Several other states have either started to ease or are considering easing masking requirements. New York implemented its mask rules when cases began to soar. It was initially set to expire weeks ago, but had been extended twice while state officials waited for the wave to subside. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention still recommends universal masking in schools. The German government is resisting calls to ease COVID-19 restrictions, saying it's still too early. As Feature Story News' Trent Murray reports from Berlin, the government has come under increasing pressure from COVID-weary citizens and struggling businesses.
Germany's health minister has defended the government's decision not to loosen coronavirus restrictions, saying such a move could see between 400 to 500 people die every day. Speaking to German broadcaster ZDF, he said that currently around 150 people a day are dying on average, a number he considers still too high in the country of 83 million people. As other countries like Denmark, Sweden, and Israel begin to walk away from pandemic-related rules, Minister Karl Lauterbach, himself a trained virologist, said he believed it was premature to consider similar moves in the EU's most populated country. Trent Murray, Berlin.
A California lawmaker is set to introduce a bill that would create a universal basic income program for low-income students at several California State University campuses. Public News Service's Suzanne Potter reports.
The idea is to provide a universal basic income so more students can afford to stay in school. State Senator Dave Cortese says the pilot program would serve about 14,000 students, or about 11% of the campus population.
Because that's roughly the percentage of students who are essentially in abject poverty. They're either homeless or severely at risk of being homeless.
I'm Suzanne Potter.
U.S. climate envoy John Kerry will be in Mexico today for talks with President Andrés Manuel López Obrador and other officials amid high tensions over Mexico's plan to favor its fossil fuel-dependent state-owned electricity company and limit private and foreign firms that have invested in renewable energy. López Obrador has vowed to forge ahead with changes to Mexico's power sector, increasing investment in fossil fuels, while limiting private wind, natural gas, and solar plants to a minority market share. The U.S. government has expressed real concerns with the potential negative impact on U.S. firms and investments. Kerry may be troubled by López Obrador's defense of dirty, state-owned coal and fuel oil power plants. The Oakland Unified School District Board of Education narrowly approved a revised plan early this morning to close 7 schools, merge 2 others, and cut grades from 2 more over the next 2 years. The district says the plan could save up to $15 million a year. It had drawn protest from some teachers, parents, and students. Christina Onestad reports.
Students at Westlake School got a real-life lesson in civics with a march and rally to City Hall to oppose their school's closure. It's one of 14 schools on the chopping block that educate mostly black and brown students. Mr. Ross is a teacher at Westlake.
OUSD has a history of disproportionately impacting majority black schools for closure, closing 16 majority black schools in two decades. Unfortunately, the list of schools slated for closures currently is no exception, with all eight schools proposed for closure being majority black schools. The COVID-19 pandemic has had a profound impact on our school system, disrupting students' lives and ability to learn, creating difficult and stressful environments for Oakland teachers, students, and families, and intensifying existing issues around equity within our schools.
Under the plan, eight schools would close, five would merge with nearby schools within 3 miles, and two would be truncated.
Don't close
our school!
Don't close
our school!
Students also spoke out in front of City Hall at Frank Ogawa Plaza to oppose the school's closure.
They want to slit the throats of 13 schools. And when I heard just now that 1/15th of a percent, do you have any idea how minuscule that is? 1/15th of a percent of that $43 billion surplus that is coming next school year can fix all of OUSD's issues. Why do they need to close our schools? Why?
If they merge our schools, there would be more children there, and we won't be able to stay 6 feet apart and space out, and we won't be able to. There would be more stress on the teachers.
Westlake isn't just a school, it's a home, a family, a safe place for us to dream our dreams, whether it be acting, singing, dancing, or sports. You will be taking away our opportunities, our futures, and if you try to take away our dreams, as you can see, as what we're doing right now, we will fight back.
Under the plan, Westlake would merge with West Oakland Middle School, then become a site for consolidated continuation schools. Tim Killings, a case manager at Westlake, says they're not going without a fight.
We love our site. Our site is beautiful. We got all types of stuff at Westlake. We got a gym, we got a dance studio, we got a soccer field, we got all types of supporters. We got a loving community, and we don't have nothing against West Oakland Middle, but we want to stay on our site. And we don't believe the district's reasoning that they're going to save money by closing our schools, because we know 16 out of the 18 schools they closed in the past have turned into charters. So it's pretty much a land grab of them trying to grab our school. So we're fighting back.
Teachers say with California anticipating more than $45 billion in a budget surplus next year, the state can afford to bail out Oakland Unified's fiscal woes, a $22 million debt. Two teachers on hunger strike are calling on Governor Gavin Newsom to intervene. Westlake teacher Miss Ann Shea is one of them. She attended the rally in a wheelchair and later spoke at a press conference with a list of demands, including a meeting with the governor.
We want a meeting with Governor Gavin Newsom in Oakland, and we have committed to continue this hunger strike until that demand is met.
Another teacher on hunger strike is now hospitalized. They're also demanding the school board adhere to its policy of no school closures. And they've garnered the support from parents like Christy Cross, who's a founder of West Oakland Moms for Housing.
We have to think about the impact that it's going to have on these families. These families are not going to have to adjust to changing the way they use transportation, waking up early to get on, maybe catch two buses to even get there. We have to understand that we're still in a pandemic, and we have to social distance. So whether we close the schools or consolidate them, neither one is going to be healthy for our babies. So we're against closures and consolidations.
Cross says teachers, unions, and other community groups are organizing to stop the school closures. I'm Christina Onnestad, reporting for KPFA.
Those were our news headlines. I'd like to remind our listeners that the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee was founded in 1960 at Shaw University in Raleigh, North Carolina. Campaigner, civil rights campaigner, Ms. Ella Baker, called the meeting of student activists. She convinced the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, she was with them at the time, that this would be an important meeting to happen. And of course, a lot of the students who attended that meeting were involved in the first waves of sit-ins challenging segregation in public establishments and transport. The members of SNCC were considered the shock troops of the civil rights movement because they were often jailed, beaten, water hoses put on them, arrested, and several of them lost their lives. Now, in 2010, SNCC, or the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, held a 50th anniversary conference at Shaw University. I luckily was able to participate and record this moment, and I am really so delighted to be able to share this with you. This is just incredible history that's difficult to find, and you could hear directly from the people who made the movement and helped to win a lot of the rights that we take for granted today, although, of course, those rights are very much under threat. We are now going to go to hear Dick Gregory. He spoke at the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee's 50th anniversary conference.
What he needed to do was go to ghetto and get a ghetto system. Then you don't have to be trying no 22. I'm talking about big, tall, 6'5" ghetto sister with no teeth. Raising about 5 crack babies. That's what he needed. And the sister wouldn't be ready on. They catch him coming out of her house in the ghetto at 4 o'clock in the morning. Said, what you doing? She said, why you ask that? Said, what are you doing in your house? I said, we need to teach her. He's teaching my son how to play golf. At 4 o'clock in the morning, yeah. How old is your son? He 8 years old. Why are you coming here at 4 o'clock to teach you? Boy, don't get in till 3. You see, I don't know if your wife will know, but that's what I'm trying to impress y'all. The ones that's cool, we don't need to impress, and the ones who ain't cool, you're not going to impress them anyway. So just be yourself. So if I've been president, the first thing I said after I cleaned up that cab mess, I make an announcement, there'll be no white folks in my cabinet. None. And black folks will go crazy. I used to see them preachers on church. I can't believe it. Yeah, I said it. I'm the president. I'm the army, the tanks, and the missiles. I'll say it again. There'll be no white folks in my cabinet. And then you black folks will be mad at me because the qualification to be in my cabinet is if you went past the third grade, you don't want it. If you read and write, you don't follow. See, my logic is that if all these white folks in these cabinets with all these PhDs and all this money and top corporate, if they messed up the country like this, let's try something else. My cousin, you can't read and write, flunked out the kindergarten. He'd be my secretary of defense. I'm just seeing it now. Mr. Jabbo, now that you're the secretary, what do you plan on doing about defense? He goes, first I'm gonna fix it, then paint it. Somewhere. When you understand how fast this thing is moving, and white folks, don't let nobody convince you that it ain't a difference between black folks and white folks. Some black folks even buy into that. All you gotta do is just turn on TV and look at that Cialis commercial. Hi there. You take your Cialis down for 4 hours, go to the emergency room. You know they talk to white folks in my neighborhood, a 4 hour call a treat. Go down to the drugstore and tip the pharmacy. You know what I'm talking about?
black woman in the black church. And when we brothers realize that, things, I mean, think about it. I didn't realize how smart my wife was. Until Kobe Bryant got caught up in that mess. You remember that white woman accused Kobe of raping her? And he went on and bought his wife a $4 million diamond ring. Tonight, if a white woman in this town accused me of raping her, and I give Lillian a $4 million diamond ring, she will get two more white women. She got enough sense to know wherever that ring came from. There's a matching necklace. That is some stuff on the corner. A little 6-year-old grandson walked up to me and said, Granddad, what's in the I said, go ask your grandmother. He came back with that funny look on his face. I said, what did she tell you? And she said, she told me she'd tell me later, but to tell you, she hadn't seen one of them things around the house in years. You black folks, the niggas call it the N-word. White folks getting embarrassed now. And you stupid enough to say, yeah, we call it the N-word. See, the Irish, they had a word for them, just like nigger. It was drunken, fighting Irish. Huh? They didn't try to hide it. They just dropped drunk and went to Notre Dame with the fighting Irish. The next 50 years, your children, and your children, don't get all upset and uptight. I was in the airport about 6 months ago, and I saw that white lady at LaGuardia looking at me, and a little white girl lady looking and pointing at me. So a little girl, she's number 5 years old. She said, mister, you Dick Gregory? I said, yeah. She said, do you have a tail? I said, yeah, but tell your mama mine's in the front. How stupid you're gonna get to be mad at a 5-year-old child? Those are games. I mean, I'm out on the highway and I've got my brand new Rolls Royce. I'm kicking back. And I'm laying out there. I'm doing 150. Just to see if it works, you know. Here this white cop jump out the hill, catch me, and I am disappointed, and he sees something on my face. He said, so you doing 145 miles an hour? What you so disappointed about? I said, this is a Rolls Royce, man. I paid $400,000. I'm wondering how you caught me with that cheap Chevy. But when you're in order, the universe will be right there. He said, I really have a problem. Well, you know I did, Gregory, just a brother on the highway at 11:30 at night. He said, listen, he said, maybe you can help me. I think this is a trick now. I said, what do you mean? He said, tonight is my wife's birthday. And I said, what that got to do with me? He said, well, we're having a surprise birthday party for her. At midnight, I get off at midnight, so I knew I was gonna be 30 minutes late. And now, you know, I mean, 140 miles an hour, I mean, I owe it to the people of my state. Not to let you off, cause my wife's birthday, but I also owe it to my wife to kind of work this out. And he said, look, I've been a state trooper for 35 years. I've heard every excuse you can hear. But just to give my wife the benefit of the doubt, if you can tell me why you was doing 140 miles an hour and then tell me something I ain't never heard before, I'll let you go. I said, how long you been a state trooper? He said, 37 years. So you see, 37 years ago, a white state trooper ran off with my black wife. When I looked through the rearview mirror and saw you, I thought you was bringing her back. And so you get uptight over everything. Get uptight over debt. You didn't have the money when you bought the stuff. Just be happy you got it. Had Neiman Marcus call me the other day. Mr. Gregory, when can we expect a payment? I said, well, I'm not in charge of your expectations. You can expect a payment anytime. Now, if you want to know when you're going to get it, that's a different story. Everybody's scared. And this old dumb brother, he was making big money and everything crashed. And he wouldn't even speak. Called me the other day. Hey, bro, they about to repossess my car. What must I do? Don't park in front of the house. You know, the repo man ain't that smart. Man, you know, Keith. He called me. They about to repossess his house. I said, you can't get no sympathy here. They took my house when times was good. They repossessed my Rolls Royce when me and my wife was in it. You ain't getting no sympathy here. Everybody seemed surprised at the governor of Virginia the other day. You want a Confederate soldier history month. Somebody said, that didn't make you mad. No, the only thing I got upset about that, you know, we got Black History Month, and to show you how far we come, you know, it used to be called Negro History Week. Now it's called Black Month. That's progress. But wouldn't you know when they get ready to give us a month, be that month of February and all them days missing? Now I didn't expect no 31 day, but February, I don't even know black folks that even like February. February the 2nd, Groundhog Day. What's a groundhog? If the groundhog sees his shadow, 6 more weeks of winter. This February 2nd, I was in New York City. I was doing this radio show. This white dude said, Bro Greg, today's Groundhog Day. What do you think will happen if the groundhog sees his shadow? I said, man, I don't play that groundhog mess, man. Back off. And the white boy got upset. Well, you anti-American? You anti-social or something? What do you mean you don't play it? I said, I know you feel that way about it. Ask me again. I'll play it. He said, today's Groundhog Day. What do you think will happen today if the groundhog sees his shadow, boy? I said, I don't know, sir. But since you asked it, suppose that groundhog come out today and don't see his shadow, white boy, but see 5 black dudes. What do that mean? He said, I don't know. I have 6 more weeks of basketball, chump. I mean, do you white folks feel silly to some of the stuff you... Look. February the 2nd, Groundhog Day. Groundhog sees his shadow 6 more weeks of winter. Now, you know, spring don't come in till March the 21st, right? One day, when you by yourself, white folks, get a calendar and count from February the 2nd to March the 21st. That is 6 weeks. Groundhog ain't got a damn thing to do with it. So just a little common sense. That's what, when Michael Vick got caught up in all that stuff, he had one of the brilliant lawyers dismiss it. They thought they was going to beat it. They thought it was going to be a walk in the park. You black folk can be so stupid. Do you know how white folk feel about dogs? I live in Plymouth, man. I live around rich white folks. Neighbor across the pond, Steinway piano air. Go up the hill, ocean spray. They lie about their dog's age. I said, how's the dog? He said, 4 years old. The damn dog bit me 10 years ago. So I was telling all my black friends, Michael Vick in trouble. They're going to get him on this. And after they busted him and sent him to jail, they called and asked me, how'd you know? How'd you know? Look, man, the white folks I know hire nanny to change their baby's diaper, but walk their own dog and pick up the dog. And he gets out of jail. And everybody kept saying, well, he don't need to play. Look what he did. Come on, he served his time. I was pulling for him. I don't even like football. I think that got to be the dumbest, stupidest thing on the planet. They talk about all these computers. They have never and never will make a computer to equal what the universe put inside your head. Huh? And yet you take this head and run it into somebody else, but you wouldn't let your child take your car on a lot and run it into another car. Somewhere. So I was hoping Michael Vick, when he went with Philadelphia, you know, Philadelphia, I was hoping that first game, you know, right out of jail, he would intercept the ball and be kind of disorientated and run the wrong way. 50 yards the wrong way, and then just as he stepped out, he reversed the field and cut back and go 100 yards, 150 yards, and score a touchdown. You know how black folks do it? They do it. They do that little. And then they take the ball, and I was hoping when he took that ball, and biff, it would bounce up in the stands and kill a dog. What's happening to America today and black men, damn near as bad as white men. I tell you what happened to America today, the good old days, and you women, y'all better be obsessed with your, when they're talking about the good old days, they talking about when women was damn near as oppressed as minorities. And you ain't oppressed no more, and they trying to figure out what's wrong with America. Nothing, you free. You ever stop all my life? The girls is in the kitchen cooking. I ain't never seen no little boy in the kitchen cooking. The girls cooking. Then I start making big money and go around the world and eat in the best restaurants in the world. And they all men cooks. When did they learn how to cook? All at once now, you're not gonna be my babysitter just cause you my sister, because there's opportunities thanks to the civil rights movement. That freed. See, the great thing about this movement, when that legislation come through, it didn't say for Negroes only. Think about that. So everybody was covered. You go back before the SNCC, before the civil rights movement, before that big push. Handicapped folks was ashamed to come out in the street. Now you can park free. Every damn sidewalk got an indenture in it. You go to the damn shopping mall, they got a place, 50,000 cars. All the cars are full except the handicapped. You know they ain't coming, but you better not park there. You know what I'm talking about? Let's be honest, you be mad. So I had to, and I'm not about to get my ride, so I parked in the handicap. Wasn't any law still zipping my pants up when I came back. 12 cold-blooded evil white boys surrounded my car in wheelchairs. You see, you black folks, y'all don't know how to talk to white folks. Y'all be trying to relate with that ghetto vernacular. Yo, I walk up. Jesus Christ, guys, what's going on? That bell rang, friend. He says, some black dude done parked in my parking space for the handicap. I said, I can't believe that some black cat could be that disrespectful to 12 white cripple boys. What you planning on doing? I said, we're gonna deal with him when he come back. I said, I'm just so depressed. I said, give me, here, let me, I'll deal with it for you. He said, "You, black dude, you willing to deal with a black dude that parked in our parking fast? You damn right." He said, "What you gonna do?" I said, "I'm gonna steal this nigga's car." So this next 50 years, huh? Them black men, you just as guilty. Well, the problem in the black community, ain't no black man at home. Nigga, you wasn't home when you was home. Hitler had a mother and father at home. You can't get no more family-like than the goddamn mafia. Mama Mayor, mama, huh? All these thugs that ripped off Wall Street. They didn't come from broken homes. And then some crazy black brother in the New York State Legislature. Y'all see that crap last week? He went and put a big billboard up on Broadway of showing a black dude with his pants hanging down below his, huh? I called him. I said, "Anybody can pick on children. Why don't you put a billboard up of the 12 latest black and Hispanic and women that have been beat up by cops in New York? Huh? We can always pick on the children. Why don't you go take a picture of 12 drug corners and take the picture of them drug cats standing out there and put them up on a billboard? Matter of fact, why don't you go to the post office and get the FBI's top most wanted? The FBI don't put that list. They hide it in the post office. And we're not going any further till you clean up the mess. It's a game. I know, because I have to look myself in the face every day. There's somebody from Canada. One great thing about Obama, the world's short on Negroes now. So if you just halfway behave yourself, they'll pick you. So they wanted to honor me in Toronto, Father of the Year. You've been married 51 years, 10 children. What a better person. I said, "No, I can't accept it." I said, "What do you mean?" And well, you see, when you have a child, the universe has gave you the privilege of creating another God. Universe. They don't ask no questions. What color? What sex? How much money you make? How much education? Can you read? Can you write? That's the universe. And so I have 10 children, and I never had an affair with my wife to create new life. I realize every time I buy a car, I check out the year, the make, the model, the down payment, the monthly notes, the insurance, and the trade-in bad one. I got to look at myself. Say, thug, you put more research in owning a car than creating God's new life. So I'm part of the problem. Every time I go to a peace rally anywhere in the world, they take my tax money off that ticket and buy bums and drop it on little children. Say, "God, when the bums fall on my grandchildren, give me the courage to understand I'm part of that mess." See, y'all playing games. It's a game. Somewhere, when I look how fast this thing done moved, no one could have made me believe 50 years ago when I was running down there in Mississippi, knowing I'm gonna die. But when anyway, that's when I found out, that's why I come here to say thanks. That's when I found out there's something more on this planet than dying, is when you tolerate the craziness and accept it. Then that real God takes your grace away. That's what that game's about. And I went down, and I kept going down, and the more I go down, the more I see you, all you young folks out there, and the more I wasn't scared. And if someone would have told me 50 years ago that Mississippi would end up having a black man head of the Mississippi State Troopers, I wouldn't have believed it. With no guns, no hatred, no violence, no army. Just a bunch of dedicated folks, white folk, black folk, willing to die if it came to that. And out of that, huh? Did I ever think I'd see the day this thing would change so fast that white folks would ask me to comment on white folks' problems? I came in from Budapest 2 weeks ago and CNN met Kennedy. Mr. Gregory, you think we'll ever catch Bin Laden? I say, we? I ain't looking for him. I'm still trying to find out who my daddy is. And so when you stop and think what this movement, what we really celebrating, 50 years ago, a white woman couldn't do anything on a commercial airline but be a stewardess. You couldn't be a pilot, couldn't be a mechanic, you couldn't work the baggage room. And in order to be a stewardess back then, white woman, you had to look like something off the center page of Playboy magazine. Black woman couldn't be a stewardess, black man couldn't fly a plane. And because of the civil rights legislation, not saying for black only, all y'all benefit by it. And anytime you get on a plane, anytime soon, and see an old, ugly, short, fat white stewardess, we got her that job. Huh? We got that job. Not her white brother, not the president, not the Marines, a bunch of snotty-nosed kids in some black church with some old black preachers and a handful of white folk that say, I dare you. That's what happened. Huh? 50 years ago, if we'd have been on this campus with these black folks and white folks talking like this, these black folks would have lost their funding. That's how far we've come. Huh? That's what this is about. I get insulted every time somebody say to me, Mr. Gregory, are you happy now that all that you went through in the civil rights movement, you got a black president? That's an insult. We wasn't out there, black folk from white folk, with our lives, not knowing if we see our family or our kinfolks, our children, for a black man to be president. We was out there so black folk can get the right to vote. Damn, did you go to Harvard? Damn, if you're a lawyer. We talking about basic rights that the Constitution guaranteed me. Not president, just simple rights. That's what we was out there for. That's what we was willing to die for. And so when you stop and think now, whew, what do this day mean this weekend? Ladies, 50 years ago, you couldn't be a cop. Huh? I'm talking about white women. You couldn't be a cop. And now you had police departments, had homicide division, huh? Criminal investigations. Why? Because a handful of snotty nose, huh? That cussed all the old folks out, talked about the NAACP, and every time we got busted, it was the NAACP came with the money to get us out. Because I didn't know no sneak lawyers. Yeah, we were just willing to take the whooping. Them NAACP legal defense coming next time. I dare you to hit him. This is how far we've come. Huh? This is how far. So when you stop and think, the mental piece now, how can black folk be shame of the word nigga when you can't be a nigga? If I say, all you and you stand up, you get upset, you'll and call your name. This whole mindset, huh, got to change somewhere. And you know, you nice folks in here, the next time you go to Washington, D.C., it was up in your town last week, No, I'm talking about the trees. Cherry blossom. Boy, you white folk got to be the dumbest folk. You know who sent you the Japanese? Who you beat up? I don't know what's coming off them damn trees. Go back next year and see how many black folks you see. We don't fall for that. Y'all and kick the Japanese butt, beat them up, call them chinks and all kind of names, and now you just bring your children to see the little old. I'll leave town. I'll leave town doing that cherry blossom somewhere. And so I say, thanks, Nick. NAACP and the Urban League changed my life. I started fasting and meditating. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, Mr. Gregory, you've been fasting 40 years. What does your doctor think? My doctor been dead 30 years. I get up every morning, walk, 5 miles? Rock the clock, you know? People said, 2 years you'd be 80, you look so well. How do you know when you're getting old? You know when you're getting old when somebody compliment them beautiful alligator shoes you in and you barefooted. You know when you're getting old when your lady or man yell downstairs, run upstairs and let's have some quick sex, and you yell back, you know I can just do one or the other. You know when you're getting old when you go in a restaurant and order a 3-minute egg and they make you pay in advance. So let me leave you with this. You old folks better stop dealing with this thing from emotion. 50 years ago, there was leeway for it. There's no leeway for it now. I got 10 brilliant children, and I never played the educational game. I said, these books you read in school, they racist, they sexist. And how can Columbus discover America? Where's the Indians when that boy got here? And if you can discover a country that's already occupied, I can walk out in the parking lot now and discover your car with you in it. Shut up, get in the back seat and teach me Thanksgiving. It's a mind game. You can't find a better Christian than me. They killed my Jesus Christ and then told me, call it a good day, nigga. I call it Good Friday. The only way you can enter the kingdom of heaven is you have to embrace your Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I said, well, damn, Jesus couldn't get in. He was a Jew. And how can y'all in America cry over the crucifixion of Christ, but don't condone capital punishment? Are you too ignorant to know? Are you too ignorant to know the state killed Jesus? It's a capital. He wasn't mugged to death by some drunken chariot driver. He was killed by the state. Which means if Jesus Christ come back to America today and bug the wrong people, they give Jesus an electric chair. Then we all Christians be walking around with big chairs around our neck. Where are you there? How do you make the sign of the chair? So we need to get a quiet period where we clean up the There were some black folks that went to war because they loved America. But most black folks I went to war went for the benefits. And let me tell you something, black folks. There is a universal God. I'm not talking about your church. I'm talking about there's a universal God that says to you, before I sit back and let you go someplace to kill or be killed for somebody else just so you can go to college, I'll drop blood off your degree to 4 generations. Now you understand what's happening on your corners? Huh? You willing to kill somebody, not because you loved America, so I could get some G.I. Bill. Huh? And then you look in the mirror and think, you some special something? You paying for it. You got black neighborhoods you scared to walk down the street? Those aren't people from Mars. Those aren't redneck, cracker, nigger-hating Klan members. Those guys and girls came out your black belly. God put them out there, little bitty feet. They celebrated Christmas. They ate chocolate cake. and something went so crazy, you scared to walk past that thing that came out your belly. And you don't know somebody trying to tell you something? Huh? Laughing at these youngsters, pants all down their butt. Hitler never wore his pants down low. Look how he turned out. No black man at home? What does that mean? Queen Elizabeth, the richest white woman on the planet, she makes $360 million every 24 hours, just interest on her money. She's always lived in that palace with one man, Philip. You can't find no more messed up, drugged out, trifling children than hers. Well, tell me about a man being at home. Huh? It takes more than just a man being at home. And when you got two people at home, man and woman, that's full of hate, then the child's really messed up. This is what have to happen. The whole thing got to be turned around. White women today with a PhD make 87 cents on the dollar to a white dude with a master's. Huh? It looked like we haven't come far in 50 years. You heard him this morning talking about who would ever believe today a black man is twice as more likely to go to jail than he would 50 years ago. You damn right. I'm not going to jail for the crime. I'm going to jail for the attitude. And if we would have had the same attitude these youngsters had 50 years ago, we would have been under the jail. That's what it's about. Walk down the street, nigga, and don't laugh when you see me. Don't scratch your butt like you scared of me. You damn right I'll put y'all in jail. This is a game. Huh? Ain't no telling how many times that white boy grabbed my mother in the butt. She just lied, Miss Why, you don't mean that. Grab one of my daughters in the butt. The attitude done changed. And we can take that back to 50 years ago. Huh? Made us start feeling good. I was with Stokely in Greenwood, Mississippi. When he yelled, black is beautiful. And black folk got upset. We need green power. We wasn't talking about that. We wasn't saying black is beautiful at the expense that white was ugly. We were saying black is beautiful because we had been convinced that black was ugly. And it worked. You see, black folks, whiter than white folks saying, I'm black. There was a time. We worry about the word nigger. You can never be a nigger. There's black folks that have been at this conference that if your son or daughter come home, or grandson or daughter, with a black as dark as me, y'all have some problems, but that ain't for discussion. Huh? Huh? That's not for discussion. And so we leave you today and we say thank you. Thank you for what you were able to do. I look around, I see you, I see family members, I see folks that ain't never got your name mentioned. But in the real book, in the real book, what you've done, John Brown, in the real book, had it not been for him, there wouldn't have been a Civil War. And the Union respected what he did so much. A white man willing to die or kill for me. He could get nothing out of that. But he did it anyway. And it scared this country so bad, after he made the raid on Harper's Ferry, 16 months later, Civil War. Huh? And he told them as they hanged him on December the 2nd, I was trying to give you God's last warning. Now it will be with your blood. And to show how stupid we are in America, the Confederate revolution ain't nothing new. Y'all be revolution like you invented. Revolution is nothing but an extension of evolution. Evolution ain't nothing but a gradual naturistic change after long periods of time leads into revolution, which is quick change. When a woman gets pregnant, the first 9 months is evolution. When the water bag breaks, that's revolution, nigga. You ain't invented nothing. And when that water bag breaks, all the bums, all the soldiers that ever existed can make her cross her leg and keep that baby in her. That's what's happening. And so I say to you as we leave here, thank you. Thank you for coming up. Thank you for being here. What you witnessed, these young folks and the folks from SNCC, this ain't no damn baseball game. This ain't something you could bet on and cheat on. I looked at that damn Super Bowl. That boy threw that quarterback threw that ball to that boy. Y'all so wrapped up, you thought it was legit. Are you crazy? This was real. University of Texas, as we speak, have a football budget annual of $100 million. There's never been that type of budget for freedom, huh? For liberation of women, for fairness of children, huh? Somewhere. And so we say to you, enjoy, go back. You don't even have to go back telling what you heard. Just go back with a new smile. Go back with that bitterness and that meanness. Go back and just help people. Go back and call your mama who you ain't talked to, or your brother or your sister, and just in your voice, just say, hi there. You don't have to say nothing else. That's simple. That's what real freedom and liberation is about, is something happens in here. And to you SNCCs, you youngsters, I thank you. Thank you. I made all the money I want to make. Then I bumped into y'all and found out there's another bank account that I had nothing in, that Universal Bank. I love you. God bless you. Thank you.
This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. We're going to take our station break now. When we return, we are going to hear some music from the 50th anniversary conference of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Johnson Reagan from 1997. Bernice herself, a member of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. That song is Freedom in the Air. This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. Check us out on our website at sotrueradio.org. If you're on Facebook, you can like and friend us on Facebook. We're also on SoundCloud. Look for Sojourner Truth with Margaret Prescott. And today, we would like to give a shout out to our SoundCloud listeners in the state of Alabama and internationally to our SoundCloud listeners in France. On Twitter and Instagram, you can find our handle at SoTrueRadio. Now, some of the music that played such an important role to the movement, we really wanted to share that with you, and hoping to share more of the music of SNCC with you as well on other shows. But now, let us go to a song that was sung at the 50th anniversary conference, This Little Light of Mine.
Yeah.
are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, also heard at translator K220HR Hood River at 91.9 FM, and translator K282B.